I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to this segment. My name is Buddy Shula. We are here with PB Elder Law. PB Elder Law is located at 455 Cayuga in Cheektowaga. It's right by the Buffalo Airport. You can go to the website at pbelderlaw.com. And you can also call them to schedule an appointment at 716-204-1055. That's 716-204-1055. We welcome again to the show. It's always nice to see the smiling face. I know you can't see it, but I can see it on Zoom. Linda Greer, how are you?
I'm well, buddy. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, God, we're getting toward the end of the year here, and it's a good time to talk about the basics of estate planning, all right? And, you know, estate planning is a pretty big word. So while it may seem basic, there's a lot to it. And it takes, you know, probably somebody like yourself to explain it. So let me ask you something. At PB Elder Law, Linda Greer, what are some of the big basic steps that people should start taking for estate planning?
Right. So you just hit the nail on the head that we're coming to the end of the year, which brings us to New Year's resolutions, which often bring people to say, we're going to do those documents. We're going to revisit things. We're going to plan our funeral. We're going to take all those steps. So it's a really good time of the year to be thinking about these things. We're going to be around family for the holidays and start maybe having some conversations about things. So basics to consider, regardless of age or financial circumstance, there are four basic documents that every single person that's an adult should have. And the first is a last will and testament, which, as we know, is a list of instructions to be followed after we pass away. It allows you to designate who's going to receive your estate and any restrictions you want to put in place. And it also allows you to appoint or nominate the executor, the person that wraps up your final affairs. So everybody should have a will. And I want to talk later today a little bit about, you know, how do we avoid using a will so that we can avoid going through probate. But we want to make sure we have a will as a safety net and a catch-all. The second basic document that everyone really should have is something called a disposition of final remains. And that's just a written instruction about whatever your funeral wishes might be. So if you desire cremation or burial, et cetera. And you appoint somebody to make those decisions for you after you pass away.
Hey, I got a quick question. Is there anything other than cremation or burial?
There are lots of things. So you can do, people do green burials where you can be put maybe into like the root ball of a tree. There are burials at sea. If you are cremated, there are many things that can be done with cremated remains. So they could certainly be buried, interred in a mausoleum. I've had people have their remains shot up into a rocket into space. You can
really
be made into jewelry. Yes. So there's all sorts of things that you can do. There are a couple public health laws that tell us that we can't do certain things with remains. So for example, you cannot put cremated remains into a public park where public, you know, you can't go to, let's say, the stadium and scatter your remains there where the public's going to be. But you can scatter remains on private property. Generally speaking, you can put cremated remains into salt water, but you can't into fresh water. So there are rules about what you can do. I've had people think of all sorts of unique things. And as long as there's no public health prohibition, you can generally do any of the goals that a family might have for themselves.
I just got to tell you this because I read this. All right. So I want to what about mummification?
Yep. So that's out there. There's cryo preservation as well, which is like freezing parts of your body or your body. So there's all of that potentially could be out there. I don't know of any companies that do mummification, but I suppose it's something that could be considered. And then the next, the other basic documents are relevant while you're alive. And you're not really having capacity to do the things you ordinarily would do. So we want to make sure that everybody has a healthcare directive in place to make medical decisions. So keep in mind that your doctors are always going to speak directly to you as yeah. long as you can tell them what your wishes are. But if you're ever in a situation where you cannot speak for yourself, you've had a catastrophic injury or illness or dementia, they're going to want to have somebody designated by you as your agent to speak for you on your behalf. So that's called a healthcare proxy. And we can also be more specific in New York as well and do something called a living will, where we specify what our wishes might be about end of life support. And lastly, in New York, we can also do something called a MOLST. And a MOLST is a medical order for life-sustaining treatment. And it allows you to be really specific about things like artificial nutrition, hydration, whether you'd want those things. And you can do that right with your physician. The last of the basic documents are a power of attorney. And that's where you appoint somebody to step in and help you with your household business transactions. It's usually going to be you're alive, maybe incapacitated, but it doesn't, you don't have to be incapacitated. It can be used for matters of convenience. But a power of attorney is only during your lifetime. When you pass away, that power of attorney terminates. And within that document, you can appoint somebody to step in and help you with things like paying your bills, dealing with your financial matters, dealing with any paperwork items. And the reason that these documents are so important is if you become incapacitated and you haven't selected your own agents, your family and even your spouse is not going to be able to step in and make decisions for you. And when we're married, we sometimes think, oh, it's just automatic. My spouse is here. But if you've ever tried to even make a telephone call about the cell phone bill or the credit card bill that's in mm-hmm. someone else's name, even though it's your spouse, they won't speak to you. Mm-hmm. So having these documents authorizes somebody to step right in and assist you without there being any bumps along the way. And at PB Elder Law, we help clients figure out, you know, who's the appropriate person. We think about a primary person, a backup person, and all the contingency plans that go with that. So they are, you know, I want to say they're basic documents from the perspective of everybody should have them. But there's some complexities contained in those documents that an elder law attorney can walk you through and determine what's good for you and works within your family circumstance.
Okay, we're here with Linda Greer from PB Elder Law, 716-204-1055. To schedule an appointment with the good folks at PB Elder Law. You can go to their website at pbelderlaw.com. They're conveniently located right in Cheektowaga, Buffalo, right on Cayuga by the airport. There are essential documents that individuals should have as part of an estate plan. What are these documents?
So we've covered the last will and testament.
Right.
Disposition of final remains, healthcare proxy, power of attorney. Those are the basics. But then we also want to talk about how do we make life easier, simpler, smoother for the family after we pass away? And that includes sort of making sure that we have either a joint owner or a designated beneficiary, or maybe even prior to death, we've created a trust and we've put assets in order to avoid probate and provide privacy and avoid delays. So there are basic things that everybody should do and have, but then there's also complexities that are tailor-made based on a family's particular circumstance. So if somebody comes to me, for example, and their concern is, they want to protect assets from long-term care costs. If I have to go to a nursing home, I want to protect my assets so that they're not lost. I would be potentially speaking to somebody about the use of something called an irrevocable type of trust, where they can put assets in and then shelter those assets once they clear a five-year look-back period for Medicaid purposes. If the person comes in and they're not worried really about protecting assets from long-term care because maybe they have significant assets and they can pay their own way and they're not really worried about nursing home care, but they want to avoid probate. They want there to be privacy. They don't want there to be any time delays after they pass away. Then a revocable trust can work for somebody in that situation. So every case is different and unique. We have to flush out what assets are involved. What's the goal for the family? Are there any special needs individuals and making sure that we're protecting all of them? So there's lots of variables involved, but that's why you really want to sit down with an elder law attorney, somebody like us at PB Elder Law, and we spend the time going through all of those things with our clients. We'll have a consultation. Usually we spend 60 to 90 minutes in that first consultation, just flushing out your goals, ideas, information, and then getting a framework and a roadmap sort of where we're going to go from there.
What about people of modest means? Do they also need an estate plan?
They do. So even if you have what you might classify as a modest estate, you certainly want to have at least those basic documents, the will, the power of attorney, healthcare proxy, funeral arrangements into writing. And then a person of modest means might also still want to avoid probate after they die. They may say, I don't want my family to have to wait to go to a court proceeding in order to be collecting assets. So we might develop a plan for them on how they may best avoid probate. And that might be just adding a joint owner or a designated beneficiary on accounts. And you could add a beneficiary on just about almost every kind of account. It could be an IRA, it could be life insurance, an annuity. And you can also add beneficiaries on investment accounts. Like if you just have a brokerage account, you can do a transfer on death. So all of those things will avoid probate and make things go quicker for your family after you've passed away.
So it's really all about planning, all about talking to the right people, and getting this all organized, which is something PB Elder Law can help you do. Again, 716-204-1055 is their phone number. Linda, one more question. Is there a way to protect assets from long-term care and nursing home costs?
There is. So when you go into a nursing home setting, it's important to know that that can be costly. So if you were going to pay out of pocket for a nursing home, privately, you're going to be paying anywhere from $12,000 to maybe $16,000 per month. That's a lot of money, and that can certainly exhaust and deplete a family's assets and savings if they don't plan accordingly. So yes, there are things that you can do. It would involve removing assets out of your name now using something called an irrevocable trust, and then clearing a look-back period that Medicaid has. So the sooner that we start planning, the better, because we can shelter significant assets if we plan ahead.
Okay. So many people seem to just be becoming aware right now that they should be doing these things. And that's because I think we're getting the word out about elder law. We have about a minute left. What's a basic explanation of elder law and what you do?
Sure. Elder law, in our situation, what we do at our office is we concentrate in dealing with families who are dealing with transitions in life. And we do work with younger people, not just our elders, but primarily our focus is older people who are planning for either end of life, nursing home, just planning for all those transitions. So that can involve creation of documents. It can involve connecting them with appropriate care service providers, a geriatric care manager, maybe nurse's aides. We can help make those connections for them and give them referrals and information. So it's everything from planning with basic documents and preparing those documents to structuring a protection of asset plan so that they can then qualify for Medicaid to pay for a nursing home down the road. So it's really a very broad spectrum when we talk about elder law, but it's sort of helping families through transitions of life.
Great time to start planning for this, the end of the year, the beginning of a new year. You know, this whole time period over the next couple of months is where you want to get these things for sure in order. And you know, definitely call PB Elder Law for this. They have a great team of attorneys to help you. And we're here with Linda Greer, and glad we are today. 716-204-1055 is the phone number. You could go to their website too. A lot of good talking points on the website, pbelderlaw.com. And you can go see them at their office as well in Cayuga in Cheektowaga. Just make sure to call, make, and schedule your appointment with them. Linda, have a great holiday season. And as always, thanks for being on the show.
You too. Thank you so much.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent. And I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.